Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Megillah Daf Chav Gimel. We left off on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis on the last line of the page. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Karen Benson for the speedy and full Rufur Shlema for Simcha, Binyamin HaKoyin Ben Yocheved Yishlev Rufur Shlema Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. It's also sponsored by Simeon Moshe Kleinman, the Rufur Shlema for Rachel Malka, Bas Sertel Shendel. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to discuss today what the numbers of Aliyos correspond to on the different on the different days, whether it be three Aliyos, five Aliyos, seven Aliyos. Why it is that in Yom Kippur there are six Aliyos? The Gemara is going to talk about the relative alacrity and speed with which we come to shul and leave shul on different days, and what the explanation is for those things. And we're also going to talk about whether an Isha or a Katan could be mashlim to the minyan of the number of Olim that you have to have. You need seven Olim on Shabbos. Can some of them be children? Can some of them be women? We're also going to discuss whether the Maftir counts as one of the Olim on Shabbos, or is the Maftir Ola al Kulanas, that the Maftir is, after you have seven, that the Maftir is an additional one, is an eighth one. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how many Psukim you need to have in the Haftorah in order for it to be a viable Haftorah, and what the exceptions might be. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to give us a list of things that you can only do if you have a minyan. And the Gemara is going to derive the very basis for the concept of a Davar Shebekedusha requiring a minyan. Where do we learn that idea from, that a Davar Shebekedusha requires a minyan? Then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss Pidyon Karkaos of Hegdish, and how many Kohanim are required to be Poda Karkaos, how many Kohanim are required to be Poda an Adam, even though you certainly need a minyan altogether, but how many of that minyan need to be Kohanim? So let's begin. Last line of the page on Daf Chaf Beis Am Beis. Amrav Chibarava Chazina Lahula Abaye Virava Dematzliatzliye. That even though we spoke about being Nofal Alpana, falling on your face, we saw that Abaye and Rava, when they would say Tachnun, they wouldn't be Nofal Alapayim. They would just lean a little bit to the sides. Rashi says Al Tidayan Vlo Nofal Alpaneim Mamish Lefishen Adam Chashav Rashi Lipal Alpana. They wouldn't fall on their face Mamish because an Adam Chashav should not fall on his face. Shulchan Aruch writes in Ilchos Nefila Sapayim in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph that the person should be noted to one side, so the minig is to go toward the left side. And the Rama says that's dafka if you don't have tefillin on your left hand. If you have tefillin on your left hand, it's chakras, so you go on the right side when you do Nefila Sapayim. So Magen Avraham says, but when you do that, you should be mafsik with a beged because you don't want to go directly on the floor. So the Prima Gadim says, yeah, but that's only when there were nofel on the karka, when there were nofel pneum al karka. Why do you need to be mafsik with a beged? Now we just lean on our hand one side or the other. So the chora, it shouldn't make sense that you need a hefsek of a beged, because it's not really about covering your face, it's more about leaning or falling down on one side or the other. So Prima Gadim is perplexed why that is, but that's how we're knowing. That's what we do. We're always mafsik with a beged. Probably it's a good idea anyway that a person, meaning the shayla comes up when a person's wearing short sleeves, right? If you don't have a jacket on and you're wearing short sleeves, about how to be nofal al panav, because the minig is to be mafsik with a beged. Not so pasha that a person's allowed to daven with short sleeves anyway, but I'll stop there and I won't say anymore. On Yom Tov, there are five Aliyos. On Yom Kippur, there are six Aliyos. So, Masnis and Mani, Lo Rabbi Shmuel V'Lo Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah does not seem to conform to any of the known Tanoim. We know Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, we know Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Our Mishnah is like neither of them. Ditanya, because the Braisa elaborates what are their opinions. B'Yom Tov Chamisha B'Yom HaKippurim Shisha B'Shabbat Shiva. So, so far, that sounds exactly like our Mishnah. That Yom Tov, there are five Aliyos. Yom Kippur, there are six. On Shabbos, there are seven. Ein Pochs man the ain mosif nalei and divrei Rabbi Yishmael. But Rabbi Yishmael says you can't be mosif. Our Mishnah says you can be mosif. So the numbers are right according to Rabbi Yishmael, but the halach about being mosif does not conform to our Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva Omer b'yom tov chamisha b'yom kippurim shiva u'b'shabbes shisha. And Rabbi Akiva, the numbers are wrong. Rabbi Akiva has the numbers different, that on Yom Kippur there are seven aliyos and on Shabbos are only six. Our Mishnah said like we do, that on Yom Kippur there are six and Shabbos seven, and ain You can't do fewer than that, but you can add. So Rabbi Kiva is okay with the idea that you're allowed to be mosif that our Mishnah has, but Rabbi Kiva has a different set of numbers than our Mishnah has. So money, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Shmuel Kasha Tosafes. If it were Rabbi Shmuel, so our Mishnah and Rabbi Shmuel do not conform with each other when it comes to being mosif extra aliyos, because our Mishnah says he can, Rabbi Shmuel says he can't. Rabbi Akiva Kasha Shisha V'Shiva. And if it's Rabbi Akiva, just the very numbers don't work out, because according to Rabbi Akiva, it's 6 on Shabbos and 7 on Yom Kippur. According to our Mishnah, it's 6 on Yom Kippur and 7 on Shabbos. So Amar Rava Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, that the author of our Mishnah is the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel B'Yom Tov Chamisha B'Yom HaKippur M'Shisha B'Shabbos Shiva. That yeah, these are the numbers of Aliyos, that on Yom Tov there are 5, in Yom Kippur there are 6, on Shabbos there are 7. Ein Pochsim Men Avol Mosif Nalein Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. And you can do a Hosafa, and that is exactly what Rabbi Shmuel says. So Kasha Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel. But then it's a stira within Rabbi Shmuel. We have the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel that reports one thing from Rabbi Shmuel that says just like our Mishnah, and then we have the Braisa that quotes from Rabbi Shmuel that says that you're not allowed to do Osafas, you're not allowed to add Aliyos. Says Mar Trei Tanai Elibed Rabbi Shmuel Enochinami. It's a stira in Rabbi Shmuel because there were two different Tanaim that each had a different version of what Rabbi Shmuel said. So it's Trei Tanai and Elibed Rabbi Shmuel. Now why does Rabbi Kiva think that Yom Kippur gets 7 and Shabbos only gets 6? Meaning we already explained why Shabbos should get more than Yom Kippur. We said anytime there's some extra Issur Melacha, it's an extra Aliyah. So on days that there's no Issur Melacha at all, it's either 3 or 4 Aliyos. Once you have Yom Tov, where it's an Issur Melacha, Lo Sase to do Melacha, 5 Aliyos. Yom Kippur, Issur Kares, 6 Aliyos. Shabbos, Misa Bidei Adam, 7 Aliyos. So Tori Evan explains, the base for Rabbi Akiva is that Rabbi Shmuel holds that every day that has an Issur Melacha, you add an extra Aliyah. But Rabbi Akiva holds that Yom Kippur gets an extra Aliyah because of Tefillas Ne'ila. And Shabbos and Yom Tov don't have Tefillas Ne'ila. So Yom Kippur has that over Shabbos, that you have Tefillas Ne'ila. But he says, but wait a second. If it has only Tefillas Ne'ila, then it should be 6 Aliyos, because it's just like a Yom Tov, but it has Tefillas Ne'ila. So Yom Tov is 5, and the only thing it has over Yom Tov is Tefillas Ne'ila. So it's only one step above Yom Tov. He says, no, because obviously Rabbi Kiva does not distinguish between an Isser Kares and an Isser Skila, right? So Shabbos already is going to be better, is going to have one Maila over Yom Tov, because Yom Tov is only a Losase. Shabbos is already Misa. Yom Kippur also has Misa, so in that sense it's over Yom Tov as well. But Yom Kippur, in addition to being a Chiyuv Misa, also has Tefillas Ne'ila, and therefore it jumps 2 levels over Yom Tov and 1 level over Shabbos. That's how the Turi Evan understands. Now says the Gemara, Man Tana Lahadetanya, who's the author of the following Braisa? That B'Yom Tov Ma'achrin Lavo U'Memarin Lotzeis. That in Yom Tov we come late to Shul and we leave Shul early. Says Rashi, why do we come late to Shul? Because we have to be Tareach Besudas Yom Tov. Kach Mufurish B'Mesach HaSofrim. That it says Mesach HaSofrim that we need to be busy preparing Sudas Yom Tov. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that even though it's generally the men are the ones that are coming to shul, and the men are typically not the ones that are preparing the Sudas Yom Tov. So he says, how do you think the kids are going to be watched and the Sudas is going to be prepared? So the man's got to be at home helping, otherwise Sudas Yom Tov is not going to get done. The woman can't do absolutely everything, so he has to be Shomer al Abayis v'ala Yeladim when the women are preparing the Suda. And then Rabbi Yaakov Emden adds, and it wouldn't be a bad idea if he helped out preparing the Suda also. That would work also. So on Yom Tov we're Ma'achrin Lavo and Mimarin Lotzeis for that reason, that we're Mimarin Lotzeis because we have to go home to enjoy the Yom Tov, to benefit from the Sudas Yom Tov. Prima Gadim raises a question that Shulchan Aruch paskins that a person is not allowed to be Osik B'Tzrachav before he davens Shmoneh Esrei of Shachris. So how could you be Tareach B'Sudas Yom Tov before Tefillah? So as Prima Gadim says, you have a raya from here. Prima Gadim in Siman Pei Tes, he says you have a raya from here that you're allowed to buy Tzorchei Shabbos on Friday before davening, if the stores are open to sell those things before the tefillah, because apparently you're allowed to engage in preparation for su'udos of Shabbos and Yom Tov even before davening. So therefore, on Erev Shabbos, you want to do your Friday shopping before davening, that you're allowed to do before davening. The Mishnah Berurah paskins this way in Hilchos Erev Shabbos, in Siman Reish Nun, Siv Katan Aleph, but he suggests that you should say Kriyashma first, once it's the Zman Kriyashma, because is it's also lasus chafatzav kodim sheyispalel. That means chafzei shemayim, that you got to do some sort of I'm sorry, but the chafzei shemayim are going to be mutter before you daven. So you're allowed to do that which is shopping for the sake of a mitzvah at that point. But anyway, so the Braisa tells us on Yom Tov you come late to shul because you've been preparing the suda. You leave shul quickly because you got to go enjoy some klis Yom Tov. B'yom HaKippurim Marin Lava, you come early to shul. There's no suda to prepare. And you leave shul late because you're not running to any simchas yom tov. You're not running to any suda. Ubishabbos mimarin lava on Shabbos, you come to shul early because you can't be preparing the suda on Shabbos. That has to have been done before Shabbos. Umimarin latzeis, but you do leave shul early so that you can enjoy the suda Shabbos, as Rashi points out. Oneg Shabbos, right? The mitzvah on yom tov is simchas yom tov. The mitzvah on Shabbos is oneg Shabbos. There's a question whether there's such a din called simchas Shabbos and whether there's such a din called oneg yom tov. As I pointed out in the past, Rabbi Daniel Feldman has a list of svarim that he says are names of svarim that do not exist. So one of the oneg yom tov is a sefer, but it could be that there's no such concept of oneg yom tov. I asked him for the complete list. He said there's only one more sefer on the list. Kedushas Levi. There's a machlokas whether there's such a din of a kedusha of a Levi. Kedushas Kuhuna, yes. Kedushas Leviya, debatable, right? But oneg yom tov and oneg Shabbos rather and simchas yom tov. So though that's why you would have to leave shul early. So says Gemara. So who's the author of this brisa? Lemi Rabbi Kiva, this like Gavri Yaseira. It must be the Rabbi Kiva, because this brisa is telling me that we leave shul late on Yom Kippur. Why are we leaving shul late on Yom Kippur? What are we doing already in shul on Yom Kippur? Must be like Rabbi Akiva that there's a seventh aliyah, and that's why we're leaving shul late on Yom Kippur. That this brisa must be like Rabbi Akiva, right? You ask someone, well, what took so long in shul on Yom Kippur? They say there were six aliyahs instead of just five, like on a regular yantar. No, it's so difficult to understand. How much does the extra aliyah really add? But that's what Gemara is assuming, that maybe it's considered to be that we're leaving late because we're assuming like Rabbi Kiva that there's a seventh aliyah on Yom Kippur. Says Gemara, no, feel tem Rabbi Yishmael. You know how long Yom Kippur davening is? We're saying so much extra stuff. That's why we're leaving shul late on Yom Kippur. Nothing to do with how many aliyos there are on Yom Kippur. The Rama writes in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph in Hilchos Shabbos that on Shabbos we should add a lot of extra zemiros into the davening that we say in Pesukei Dezimra Lam Natzeach Shemayim and we say Nishmas after the Shiras Hayam and then we say Yotzer Aron Hakol Yoducha and Keladon Lekal Asher Shavas. So we say all of these extra things in the davening, and the Bir Agra says the Makar of saying all these extra things on Shabbos is our Sugya D'Nafesh Sidur D'Yoma, that we have this extra things that we add in to the day's Tefillah. So the Achronim ask on the Gra, wait a second, did the Gra not read the Gemara carefully? The Gemara was trying to explain why on Yom Kippur we leave shul late. On Shabbos, the Gemara said we leave shul early because we have to go enjoy the Suda Shabbos. It's talking about Yom Kippur when it says Nafesh Sidur Diyoma. So how can the Grub bring that as a mocker in Ilcha Shabbos to what the Rama writes, that we add all these extra zemiros into davening on Shabbos, and the Grub points to our Gemara that Nafesh Sidura Diyoma? Very difficult to understand how the Grub is associating our Gemara with Shabbos. So in the Sefer Domestic Eliezer on the Bir Agra, he explains the Raya of the Gra, because it sounds like on Shabbos is also Sidura Diyoma, it's just on Yom Kippur, it's Nafesh Sidura Diyoma. That there is a Sidura Diyoma that involves something extra on Shabbos, it's just a Yom Kippur, it's Nafesh. On Yom Kippur there's even more of a Sidura Diyoma, which in fact there is. There's so many different things that we've added in on Yom HaKippurim. In the Adaras and Tefilas the Adaris in the Sefer Tefilas David writes that that's the reason that we don't say in Kelukenu in Yom HaKippurim and that we don't say Aleinu after Musaf in Yom HaKippurim. He says because it's Nafesh Sidur Diyoma so much that there is no break. So the whole point of in Kelukenu and normally is to connect extra Karbanos, but normally that's a wonderful thing to do. But if it's not, we're not marking the end of Musaf, then you're not going to say in Kelukenu. You're not marking the end of a Tefillah, you're not going to say in Kelukenu and Aleinu. So we go straight from Musaf into Mincha because the davening is so long that there's no break. It's Nafesh Sidur Diyoma. Then the Adar is very interesting. He writes, but nowadays people are so shvach that they take a break on Yom Kippur. He said, I heard they take a break of a half hour, sometimes even longer. So if you take a break like that, then for sure you should say in Kelukenu and Aleinu. And there goes your break, right? If you add in the extra. But that's what the Adar is writing. Braitha, based on this idea, Nafish Sidur Diyama. So Hani, on the first wide line now, Hani Shlosh Chamisha Meshiva Kenegan Mi. The number of Aliyos that we have, 3, 5, or 7, what does that correspond to? So Tosis points out, what do you mean 3, 5, and 7? What about the 6 in Yom Kippurim? So he says, yeah, we'll ask that later on. We're going to discuss why 6 in Yom Kippurim. But he says, yeah, but what about the 4 in Rosh Chodesh? What's that Kenegan Mi? What about the 4 in Chol HaMoed? How come we don't ask about that? So he says, V'yashom Adikim Leit the time of the Musab Chashav the Tfuyeh Chad Gavra of the Tfuyeh Kol Kach B'yom Tov B'yom Kurim Shabbos Lo Sfir Leim Shem Karis Eskila Ilam Ashkin Kenegan Mi. He says, because it makes sense that when there's a Musav that you'd add an extra Aliyah corresponding to the Karban Musav, but it's not super Mistaver that you're going to add an extra Aliyah for an Isra Malacha and for each level of an Isra Malacha. So that's why we're saying it's got to, unless it also corresponds to something, only then does it make sense to associate the Isra Malacha and the levels of the Isra Malacha with extra Olim. So Pliga Rabbi Yisrael Bar Nachmani V'chada Ame. So it was Machlokas Rabbi Yisrael Bar Nachmani and somebody else, Umani Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, and that somebody else was Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi. Barmila Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi V'chada Ame Umani Rabbi Yisrael Bar Nachmani. Or is Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi and somebody else, and that somebody else was Rabbi Yisrael Bar Nachmani. Barmila Rabbi Shimon Bar Nachmani. And some say it was Rabbi Shimon Bar Nachmani, not Rabbi Yisrael Bar Nachmani. But anyway, the Machlokas was as follows. Chadam, or one of them, says that why 3, 5, and 7? Kneged Birchas Kohanim. The number of words in the 3 psukim of Birchas Kohanim, right? The first pasuk is Yivrach Hashem Yishmerecha, 3 words, etc. Right? Then 5 words, then 7 words. V'chadam or Kneged Shlosh Shomrei Asaf. That, no, it corresponds to 3 different royal guards. There are 3 that are Shomrei Asaf, that watch over the keys to the Azara and then make sure that the Azara is secure. Chamisha Meiroi Pnei Melech. There are 5 that are the trusted advisors of the king, that are Meiroi Pnei Melech, and 7 that are Roi Pnei Melech, that are other kinds of advisors that are actually Roi Pnei Melech. If you look at Rashi says that Shiva Roi Pnei Melech, Shiva Him Kiduchsiv, Shiva Sarei Paros Umadai, Umehem Yish Chamisha Chashuvim, that there are 7 Sarei Paros Umadai, and among those 7 there are 5 Chashuvim. So we're talking about the people, the Melech HaChashverosh over here. So Tosa says, I don't understand. Why would we be misaking the number of Aliyos corresponding to how many people would hang around Achashverosh? So Rabbi Natan says, no, it's based in Sefer Yirmiyahu and Sefer Malachim about Jewish kings, nothing to do with Achashverosh. But there's also the numbers 5 and 7 when it comes to the guards around the Jewish kings. The basic idea, though, is that we're trying to show that there's a certain sense of royalty in Kriyas HaTorah, that you should have a sense of being Mekabel Pnei HaMelech. So that's why we do things that correspond to Kabbalah's Pnei HaMelech. Tani Rav Yosef, Gimel Chamisha V'Shiva, Shlosha Shomer Esav, Chamisha Meiroi Pnei HaMelech, Shiva Roi Pnei HaMelech. Amar Le Abayi, Adi Inna Mai Taimu Lo Parash Lan Mar. Wow, you knew all that information. How come you never taught me that? So Amar Le Lovi Adana Tzrichisulei, I didn't know that you didn't know. So I didn't know that I was supposed to teach it to you. Umi Be'isim Inay Milsav Lar Milchu, have you ever asked me for anything and I didn't teach it to you? I'm an open book. Whatever you want to learn from me, I'm here to teach you. Rav Yosef Taka taught Abayi so much that when Rav Yosef himself forgot his learning, Abayi was the one that was always reminding him of his learning, because so it ended up coming to pay him back all the learning that he gave over to Abayi. So Amalei Yaakov Mina'a L'Rav Yehuda. Yaakov Mina'a said to Rav Yehuda, his name is Yaakov Mina'a. Mina'a means he's a min, that he's an apikores. So it says, tells us, Amar Yaakov Matza'a Garsinan. Shema v'min lo yamaskiro Yaakov, daksiv shem Rasham Yerkov. If he was a min, we wouldn't call him by name, because it says Shem Rasham Yerkov. You're not supposed to call a Russia by his name. But his name is Yaakov, and there are plenty of holy tzaddikim whose name was Yaakov, namely starting with Yaakov Avinu and on. So what do you mean Shem Rasham Yerkov? So no, it doesn't mean Shem Rasham Yerkov means a couple of things. First of all, you don't refer to the Russia by name. You say that Russia. You don't refer to him by name, but it also means you're not supposed to name your child after a Russia. So you're allowed to name your child Yaakov, even though there was a Russia at one point in history named Yaakov, because there were many, many holy tzaddikim that were named Yaakov. In fact, Rav Shurmach has a tshuva where he was asked about, are you allowed to name after a relative who is not Torah observant? Now, you have a grandfather that was not Shomer Shabbos. So, strictly speaking, in Hilchos Eidos, that counts as a Rasha, meaning he'd be Pasul Eidos, Tashas Rasha Eid. We don't think of him as an evil grandfather or anything like that, but as far as Bein Adam L'Makom, and as far as observance of mitzvos, if it's the halachic criteria of a Rasha. So you're allowed a name for him. So Rav Shurmach says, yeah, probably he had a name that hundreds of tzaddikim probably had also. So have in mind that it's not only for the Zaydi, that it's also for all the tzaddikim that had that name. And that way you avoid Shem Rishon Yirkam. But over here, we're referring to the specific person by his name. So it says Tulsa, Shem Rishon Yirkam, we wouldn't refer to him by his name if he was really a min, and therefore it has to be a different girsa. Right? We had this concept of Shem Rishon Yirkam way earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Yudam and Beis. Tulsa said Rabba Bar Ofron. So he says the girsa has to be Ofron and not Ephron to Shem Rishon Yirkam. We would never, his name never would have been Rabba Bar Ephron, because you wouldn't name someone after Ephron. So anyway, so Yaakov, somebody, said the Rav Yehuda, Hani Shisha Diyama Kippurim Kenegami. We've explained what the 3, 5, and 7 correspond to. What do the 6 of Yom HaKippurim correspond to? Amalei Keneged Shisha Shamdu Miyumino Shal Ezra V'Shisha Mismolo. The 6 that were on Ezra's right side and the 6 on Ezra's left side. Shnemar V'Yamod Ezra HaSofar Al Migdal Eitz Asher Asu L'Dabar V'Yamod Etzlo Metasya V'Shema V'Aniya V'Uriya V'Chilkya U'Ma'aseya Al Yemino U'Mismolo, and on his left side were Pidaya U'Mishael U'Malchia V'Chashum V'Chashbedona Zechariah and Meshulam. So you see 6 on each side. It says, well, wait a second, I was counting on that second list. Hani Shiva Havu. There are 7 on that second list. It wasn't 6 on each side. There were 7 on the second list. It says, well, no. Hani Zechariah, Hani Meshulam. Zechariah and Meshulam are the same name, the same person, rather. Why is Zechariah called Meshulam? The Mishlam Ba'uvde. Because he was complete in his Avoda. He was, as Rashi says, Tamim B'Ma'asav. He was someone who was a complete Eved Hashem and didn't have chesronos in the way that he served the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's interesting, I think the Chida writes in Shema Gedolim that there used to be a minhag that if a person was sick, so we're familiar with the minhag to change the name of a chola, that if a person is a gzeira against somebody, so shinoi Hashem can change a mazel, and therefore when someone's very sick, sometimes they change the name of a chola. So I think the Chida writes that Sefer Chasidim writes that there used to be a practice that instead of just changing the name of a chola, what they would do is they would sell the chola to a different family. So the person is no longer belongs to this family. He says that's where the name Chalafta and Tachlifa, all these names in Shas come from, that they were switched, that they switched from this family to the other family. So I think maybe in the Chida he writes that that's where the name Meshulam also means, that he's Kiilu paid for, right? But over here, I mean, they would give that name Dafka, that would be what they would change the name to when they would sell the child, that they would call him Meshulam. But over here in Tanakh, that the Meshulam means something else. It means that he was Shalem B'Ma'as. So Tan Rabbanim, Hakol Ol Minyan Shiva Vafilu Katan Vafilu Isha, that everyone is Ol Minyan Shiva, everyone can count toward one of the 7 Aliyos, even a Katan and even an Isha can count toward the seven Aliyos that we have on Shabbos. Aval Amru Chum Isha Lo Tikra B'Tor Mnei Kvot Zibur, but the Chum say that you shouldn't have an Isha do it because of Kvot Zibur, that it's a lack of Kvot Zibur to have a woman get an Aliyah. So the Ran writes that they're all only to be mashlim, but you can't have all of the olim be an isha and a katan. That only if you have already men that are getting an aliyah. So then, but you don't have 7 men getting an aliyah, so a woman could be one of the olim, but it can't be all katanim and isha. The Meiri says that yesh omrim, that by every kriya you need to have at least one gadol, and that way you're yotzei takanas Moshe Rabbeinu, and then the rest could be nashim katanim. And Sifsei Chami quotes from Magen Avraham and Simon Reish Pei Beis that and Levush Yisrad that no, you need at least 3 that are anashim gedolim, and then once you have 3 that are anashim over bar mitzvah, because that's always the minimum of the number of aliyos, then the rest could be nashim katanim. So the Ran writes that bizman that they would be mevarich rishon and achron, and everyone else would just be yotzi with the brachas of the rishon and achron. The Ran says, certainly an Isha couldn't get the first or last Aliyah because she can't be Motzi the man. Why can't she be Motzi the man? Because certainly the woman's Chiyuv is not the same as a man's Chiyuv, because we have to realize that Kriyas HaTorah is a form of Talmud Torah Barabim. That's why we say its own Birchas HaTorah. We recite a Birchas HaTorah by Kriyas HaTorah because it's a different form of Talmud Torah, and each different form of Talmud Torah gets its own Birchas HaTorah. A woman is Pata from Talmud Torah. So even if she could be Ola L'minyan Shiva, she certainly can't be Motzi a man in terms of the Talmud Torah and the bracha that she's going to recite in the Talmud Torah. So that's why you can't have a woman get the first or seventh aliyah, says the Rad. And that's probably the Kavod HaTzibur issue. The Kavod HaTzibur issue is that
You have to have someone who's not mechuyev b'davar to go up and get the aliyah. That makes it look like all the people who are mechuyev b'davar are incapable of getting an aliyah. That they're incapable of being able to go up and read from the Torah. And that's a bizayon to them, that they're that it's a public demonstration that all the other people are incapable. Because why would you take someone who's not mechuyev b'davar if you have people who are mechuyev b'davar? So Pashto says that's what the Kavanat Tzibur means. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden though says, but if taka they are incapable, and the only person who knows how to read is a woman, so then yeah, in a chinami, then you should have a woman read, and not a man, if the only person who knows how to read is a woman. So Yibayilu, maftir mayu shiyalu l'minyan shiva. What about a maftir? Does the maftir count toward the seven aliyos that you're supposed to have on Shabbos? So if one of your b'yim b'rab, chadom or olav, chadom or ein olav, so machlokas, whether the maftir counts as one of the seven aliyos. So mandiyam or olav da hakari, the one that says that it counts is because after all, he is reading from the Torah, umandiyam or ein olav kidu ula, damru the other opinion says no, he doesn't count because the only reason the maftir reads from the Torah anyway is because of kvot Torah, that it shouldn't look like you're treating the Navi the same way you're treating the Torah, that it gets its own bracha and it gets its own kriya, so we make sure that the person who's reading from the Navi reads from the Torah as well. The whole thing is only because of the kvot Torah, so he's not going to count toward the number of people that get the aliyah. And Shulchan Aruch we paskin that if you start a davar shebekedusha ba'asara and some of them leave, you're allowed to finish that davar shebekedusha, but you're not allowed to start a new davar shebekedusha when some of the minyan left. So the Chassam Sofer writes in his chidushim and babasra daf tazvav that if people leave ben gavra legavra of the laning, you should not continue the laning because it's considered a new inyan with each ola. But if it's between the kriyas hamaftir and the kriyas haftorah, you're allowed to continue by reading the haftorah because the whole idea of maftir reading from the Torah is mishum kovad haTorah, that they shouldn't say that people go up to get an aliyah from the Navi the same way they go to get up to get an aliyah from the Torah, because they're going to be the people will get the sense that the Torah and the Navi are both the same level. So if some of them leave in between the maftir and the haftorah, so the haftorah is connected to the is very much connected to the maftir. I'm sorry, he says the opposite, that if people leave, you should not say the Haftorah, because the Haftorah is an Inyan b'fnei atzmo, and you're not going to have the hacker. Therefore, it's a chashash that they'll associate Torah with the Nevi'im. The only way to show that it's not an Inyan b'fnei atzmo is if you do continue. Right, if you do continue, it shows that it's connected. If you do continue, it shows that it's connected. If you don't continue and you stop, you're showing that it's an inyan acher, that it's a new thing, and you can't start a new thing with less than a minyan. So that's how the Chassam Sofer writes. But this is an important concept, that the only reason we read from the maftir gets an aliyah is from the Torah. The only reason he counts separately is the minyana lo salik is because we have to give him something. We have to give him something to read just to get an aliyah from the Torah. But let's say you have a situation where the person who's going to do the haftorah already got aliyahs from the Torah, so then you don't need to add an extra aliyah onto the Torah. So that's what we had during Corona when we had one person getting all of the aliyahs. So you didn't need to go back and get an extra maftir. The guy got all the aliyahs already anyway. It was one person. There were balei kriya that were going around laning in different minyanim that got 35 aliyahs on the Shabbos morning. They'd go to the lane. Five different minyanim, and they got all the aliyos and all the different minyanim. You don't have to add a maftir on top of that. So okay. So Meisvei says Marav will challenge that a maftir b'Navi lo yivchos me'asum me'achum psukim k'deged shiva shekar b'Torah v'misa asum arba avyan. If the maftir doesn't count as one of the seven, and he's an eighth ola to the Torah, so how come when it comes to the haftorah, we said that you need to have 21 psukim corresponding to the seven that are ola to the Torah with a minimum of 3 psukim each? But if really there are 8, it should have been 24. Psukim for each haftorah. So says Mar, even the Mishum Kvot Torah, who connect the Nami lo ba'i, that since the whole purpose of that eighth Ola of the Maftir is just for the sake of Kvot Torah, so we don't require three extra Psukim in the haftorah to correspond to that. The whole point was only for Kvot Torah, it wasn't part of the core Chiyuv. Says Tosos in the bottom Tosos, even the Mishum Kvot Torah, who connect the Nami lo ba'i, he says, Kashal, fi minageinu, our minag that we say each in Shanu Nogim, Makal Shabbos, Shanu Shamaftir, Chosu, Recording Mashkara Rishonim. We have the maftir not read an extra three psukim, but to go back and read some of the psukim that were already read in Shvi'i. Vein kori klal achar kachim kein, maika mashani, kivin de mishum kvot Torah, kenegd nami lo bayi. Adra, bahayla lomer kivin dein kori ala Mashkara Rishonim, kenegd lo binan. You know why we should have said that the Torah gets 21 and not 24? Because there are no extra psukim for the maftir. The maftir is just reading the same psukim that the olim that the last Ola already read. Why does the Gemara have to say, no, we don't add three more psukim to the Haftarah because it's only Mishum Kvot Torah? We say we don't add three psukim because there's no extra psukim even in the Kriyas HaTorah for the eighth guy, for the guy who gets maftir. So says Tosis, you see, that must be that the old minhag was that the maftir would get his own three psukim and he would not read what the other people read. So says Tosis, okay, so why don't we do that? So he says it must be that they used to not say Kaddish between the people who read before the maftir and the maftir. So the maftir was Messiahim, but after once we were Mesakit to say Kaddish between those who read first and the maftir, like they said, just like we were Mesakit to say Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amin V'Amein and Yiru Einenu after Ashkivenu, or which was not something they would say in the days of the Tanaim, and we did it to demonstrate that Tfilas Arvus Rishus. So we were also Mesakit to say Kaddish between the Shiva and the maftir to show that it's not Miminyan Hashiva. So that's where the minhag changed. Then Tos quotes Rabbeinu Eliyahu instituted a minhag that even when they take out two Sifrei Torah or three Sifrei Torah, that the first people should read everything and the maftir should repeat the psukim. And he says that's what Rabbeinu Meshulam also was knowing in all of Tzarfas, and they changed the minhag of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. We don't do that. Then Tos says, but wait a second. Every Yom Tov, what do? We take out two Sifrei Torah, and the second Sifrei Torah we read about the Musaf of that Yom Tov. Well, guess what? Every Shabbos, there's a special Musaf for Shabbos. Why don't we take out the second Sefer Torah and read the Musaf of Shabbos every single Shabbos? Right, very Pashto question. Right, we do it every Yom Tov. Why don't we do that on Shabbos? So Tosfos raises that question on the bottom of the last six lines of the page. He says a few answers. Number one, because the maftir would only be two psukim, and you always have to read at least three psukim. And Vayla ask the parsha of the Maila, the Sayyim, parsha of the Matim, Shem Delavi, Minyan Shalyom. And the preceding and following parshios, which you would read to be Mashlim, have nothing to do with Shabbos, so it wouldn't make sense to read those psukim, so we just skip it. Another answer says, because the haftarah always has to be me'ain the maftir. Well, if the maftir every single week was the same thing, so then the haftarah every single week would be the same thing. That would be so boring, right? To have the same thing every single week. So we'd rather the haftarah be similar to the maftir when the maftir be the end of each parsha. Third answer, the only kapara that we read are kabbalas that are bala kapara. The kabbalas of Yom Tov achieve some sort of kapara. The kabbalas of Shabbos do not achieve kapara. So since it's not an inyan of kapara, that's why we don't read. Those are the three answers that Tosfos gives why we don't have such a practice when it comes to each and every Shabbos to read from a second Sefer Torah. So now it says Gemara on the top of Amud Beis. You mean to tell me that every Haftorah has to have 21 psukim? In Parshas Tzav, there's a Haftorah of Eloseichem Safu, and there aren't 21 psukim. So what happened to Keneged Shiva, Keneged the seven Kruim that you have for the Elios of the Torah? Shiny Asim Desalik Inyana. Over there, the whole Inyan ends in less than 21 psukim. So once the Inyan is over, we don't go on to another Inyan. Ve'echad Elosalik Inyana Lo, but if the Inyan doesn't end, we're never going to have less than 21 psukim. Vamar of Shmuel Barabbas Ibn Sagin Avakim Nekamed Rabbi Yochanan V'chev Karina Asar Psukim Amalan of Siku. I remember laying in front of Rabbi Yochanan of Torah, and once I got to 10 psukim, he told me to stop. So I stopped after 10 psukim, and we didn't require 21 psukim. No, Malkam Shish Torgaman Shiny. When there was a Torgaman there, then it was different. Then in Achinami, you wouldn't have 21 psukim. The Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Shmuel Lo Shana Al Malkam She'ain Torgaman. This requirement of 21 is only when there's no Torgaman. Al Malkam She'ain Torgaman Posek. But if there is a Torgaman, then in a chinami, you could stop earlier. You don't need 21 psukim. New Mishnah now. Now the Mishnah is going to list all of those things that you need a minyan in order to recite. Ein personal shema veino v'lufnei ateva. Personal shema means Tosfos says hakunchus pirush ben adam shabo beisknes achshes balu atzibur. People who come to shul after the tzibur already davened, so they were late and they want to say kaddish u'baruchu. So they need 10 people to say kaddish and baruchu together, and then they say the first parsha of shema together also. So that's what it means personal shema. That if you want want a chap, some semblance of a minyan, when you missed the minyan, so they'd be poris al shema. They would say some sort of shortened version of the basic dvarim shebekdusha. So you can't do that unless you have a minyan. Ve'inov lefnei ateva. You don't do chazaras hashatz unless you have a minyan. Ve'inos nes kapayim. You also don't do nesias kapayim if you don't have a minyan. Nesias kapayim meaning birchas kohanim. If you don't have a minyan, Sfasema says, wait a second. Of course, nesias kapayim is always done in chazaras hashatz. So once you tell me you don't do chazaras hashatz unless you have a minyan, isn't it obvious that you're not going to do nesias kapayim if you don't have a minyan? So he suggests that if you be nesias kapayim with pachas me'asara, then the kohen would be mevarik li'am during his tefilas hayachid, meaning there would be a possibility of doing a birchas kohanim without a chazaras hashatz. It would just be part of Shmona Esrei. Meaning we did institute birchas kohanim in Shmona Esrei, we do it in chazaras hashatz. But if you didn't have a minyan, there would have been a hava amina to do it in the silent Shmona Esrei. So kamash malan that no, you need a minyan to do it. So therefore, you're always going to be doing chazaras hashatz anyway. The Mishnah Brura writes in Siman Nun Hey that if they started with a minyan and some people left, even though you finished the tefillah, but you don't do nesias kapayim, so you understand very well nesias kapayim is an inyan acher, and even when there is chazaras hashatz, there are times that you're not going to have nesias kapayim, like if some of the people left. So maybe that's why the Mishnah say it. That's a different answer, right? Meaning the Sfasem is this kasha. Once you tell me that you only do chazaras hashatz with the minyan, isn't it obvious that you're only going to do nesias kapayim with the minyan? No, nafkamina would be, what if you started chazaras hashatz and then the minyan left? So now can I continue on to nesias kapayim even though there's no minyan present? So that's what the Mishnah is telling me. You need a minyan separately for nesias kapayim. Ve'im korim batorah. We also don't do Kriyas HaTorah unless there's a minyan. Ve'en maftir b'navia. We don't do the Haftorah unless there's a minyan. Ve'en osin maimon u'moshav. We also don't do the maimon u'moshav, which is in a Beis Olam by Levaya. They would get up and sit down seven times, and they would have this whole passage that they would say, Imdu yukarim, you know, precious ones, stand up. So they wouldn't do that unless they had a minyan. Ve'en omen birchas avelim, and they wouldn't do birchas avelim. Birchas avelim was also a bracha that was given out in the Rehov, in the public square. So they would in the Birch Savelim, Rashi tells us it was a bracha for the Menachmin Bifnei Atzman, Achenu Bala Gmul Yishalim Lechem Gmulchem Hatov Baruch Hashem Yishalim Agmul. They would make a bracha for the people who are Menachim the Avelim and say that Hashem should always repay your kindness in doing this chesed of being Menachim Avelim. And they would say a separate bracha for the Avelim, Achenu Bala Nechamos Yinachim Eschem Baruch Atah Hashem Menachim Avelim. That they would say a bracha, that there should be, that the Avelim should have a sense of nechama. So they would only do that with a minyan. So it's interesting that you have this concept of nicham Avelim ba'asara. So we mentioned many times that nicham Avelim doesn't normally require a minyan, meaning when someone is sitting shiva, you go to the house, you don't have to wait for a minyan to say amakum yinachim. So you see that there are two dinim in nicham Avelim. There's a chovas hayachid of nicham Avelim, but there's also a chovas hatzibur of nicham Avelim. That sometimes you need a minyan, and that's why it's ein Avelim in a minyan, because it's the tzibur being menachem the avel. So the tzibur is represented by a minyan. Only when you have a minyan are they menachem the avel as a tzibur. So a lot of times you have like that, where there are two chiyuvim, one that's a chovas hayachid and one that's a chovas hatzibur. V'tanchumei avelim, and tanchumei avelim as well, that's the public nichum avelim where they're omed b'shura and the avelim walk through and the minyan says amakum minachem. U'birchas chasanim, also to have birchas chasanim. This was also an issue in the early days of Corona when you weren't allowed to have a gathering of more than 10 people, and the kala is going to be there, but you need a minyan in order to have a wedding. So birchas chasanim, ve'in mezamna, you need a minyan, ve'in mezamna b'shem, to be mezamin with baruch elokeinu shachal mishlo pachas meser. You can't do any of these things with less than a minyan. U'bekarkaos tisha v'kohen v'adam kiyotze ben. And when it comes to being poda karka, you need 9 people plus 1 kohen for a total of a minyan, and the same with being poda a person. So minan imili, how do I know that the 10 people makes up a minyan, that you need a minyan for dvarim shebekdusha? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan d'Amar Kra, because the pasuk says v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael kol dvar shebekdusha le'epachas me'asara, that every dvar shebekdusha needs to have a minyan. My mashma, where do you see a minyan in that pasuk? It just says v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. D'tani Rabbi Chiya asya toch toch, because it says b'soch b'nei Yisrael, and that word toch appears elsewhere. K'siv hacha v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael k'siv hasam he b'adu mitoch ha'eda, that the meraglim are the eda. The Asya Eida Eida, Savasman Masa Leida Razos, that by Eidos Korach it says Mibod Mitocha Eida, and by the Eidos Meraglim it says also Eida. So you see that Eida means 10 people, it means a minion. So Malala Nasara Afka Nasara. So you see the word Toch is also associated with a minion. Therefore, Vinikdashi Besoch B'nei Yisrael tells me that you need to have a minion. It's fascinating that that's where we learn it from Adas Korach, from the Meraglim, from all these terrible places. So there's some sort of message in that no matter what kind of people there are, there's always room for Kiddush Hashem. Ve'enos and Maimon Moshe B'soch Pachos Me'asara, you don't do Maimon Moshe with less than 10 people. Kivin Dabai Lememar Imdu Yukarim Amudu Shavu Yukarim Shavu Batzir Me'asara Lavar Ochara, that it's not their Ochara, it's to make the Shliach Tzibur call everybody Yukarim if there aren't even a minion of people there. Ve'enom Birchus Aveilim Birchus Chasanim, you need a minion for Birchus Aveilim Birchus Chasanim. My Birchus Aveilim, what is Birchus Aveilim? Birchus Ruchava, like we described before, it's the bracha that they would say out in the town square to honor the Menachem Avelim and the Avelim themselves. The Avelim don't count toward the minion of Birchus Avelim. Birchus Chasanim Basara v'Chasanim in a minion. By Birchus Chasanim, it's that we're all coming to join in the Chasan Simcha, so the Chasan is also part of the minion. Birchus Avelim is the chiyuv of the tzibur toward the Avelim, and therefore the Avelim are not min a minion. You don't bench with the Shem Elokeinu with less than 10 people. Because not the Aruchar, it's to mention the Shem Hashem without 10 people. But Karkos, Tisha, V'koin, Valdem, Kiyotzeben, and Karkos, you need 9 plus a coin. Minani, Mili, where do we get that from, that it's 9 plus a coin? Amar Shmuel, Asara, Kohanim, Ksuvim, Beparsha. The word coin appears 10 times in the Parsha. Chadu Gufei, want to tell me that you need a coin? V'idach, Havei Miut, Achar Miut. And each repeat of the word Kohen is a Miut, Achar Miut. Vein Miut, Achar Miut, al Rabos. So whenever you have a double minimization, it always comes to be marba, so it's coming to be marba even Yisraelim. So Tishi Yisraelim v'chad Kohen. So it says Marveim v'chamisha Kohen v'chamisha Yisrael. Maybe it should be 5 and 5. That Kohen, then Miyut Achar Miyut Yisrael, then the next one Kohen, then Miyut Achar Miyut Yisrael. How do I know that this is the methodology to make the drasha? Kasha, the Gemara is not sure. V'adam keyotzi ben Adam mi kadosh. Can an Adam become kadosh that you're going to be podim from Hagdish? Amar Yavo Barmer Dami Alai, where a person says I'm accepting my value to give to Hagdish. T'tanya Omer Dami Alai, Shaman also Ke'eved. We need to do an assessment of his value like we would assess an Eved, and for that you need 10 people. The Eved, this is the Karkos, and an Eved is compared to Karka, so therefore, if we have to assess this person who committed to pay his Damim to Hagdish, we're going to need a minion in order to do that assessment properly. Okay, we'll stop there, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Gimel and Beis tomorrow. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay.
Have a good day.
You too. Take care.